Colossi Castle. 14 kilometres west of Limassol lies Colossi Castle, a three-storey limestone structure built during the Frankish period in the early 13th century. In its current form, it dates back to the 15th century, and extensions and modifications were made to it during the Ottoman occupation from the late 16th to the 19th centuries. This castle is one of the most significant Frankish fortification works that remain in Free Cyprus. It is directly associated with the presence of monastic knight orders on the island, the Knights Templar and the Knights of the Order of St. John. The walls of the castle, or fort as it is known, contain an aqueduct, a sugar factory, and the Byzantine church of St. Eustathius. The castle is also associated with the production of fine wines, foremost among them being Commandaria, during the medieval and subsequent eras. Colossi Castle ranks among the other important fortification monuments of the period, the castles of Rhodes and Malta, and the Krak de Chevalier in Syria. Before letting our mind's eye roam through the castle, let's take a look at the historic events associated with its construction. In 1190 AD, King Richard the Lionheart of England, together with Philip Augustus of France and Frederick Barbarossa of Germany, participated in the Third Crusade, 1189 to 1192. Richard and Philip travelled by sea, whereas Frederick went overland. Richard's fleet was caught in a storm and had to winter in Messini. Other sources simply mention Sicily, where the king was engaged to the daughter of the King of Navarre, Berengaria. In spring, the fleet sailed out again, but once more it met with a storm. This time, Richard was forced to head for Rhodes, whereas four of the ships sailed on towards Cyprus. Three of them were wrecked, and only one managed to dock safely at the Lemesos port. The king's fiancée, Berengaria, and her sister, Joan of Sicily, were aboard that vessel. Isaac Komnenos, the then governor of Cyprus, had seceded from the Byzantine Empire during the reign of Andronicus I Komnenos and had proclaimed himself independent ruler of Cyprus. Upon being notified of the incidents, Isaac ordered that all castaways be captured. The belongings of those who had perished at sea were confiscated and survivors were robbed. Isaac also tried to take Berengaria and Joan as hostages. His actions were caused by the fact that he had allied himself with Saladin, the Sultan of Egypt and Syria. Their agreement stipulated that Isaac would prevent crusaders from calling at Cyprus and would refuse to replenish their supplies. However, Isaac failed to deliver on that agreement, as approximately 1 month later, Richard's fleet landed in Cyprus coming from Rhodes. Richard's emissaries tried in vain to obtain some explanation and to secure commensurate compensation. Isaac showed that he was not intimidated by Richard's military might, and according to chronicler Florio Bustron, he withdrew to Kilani village. Richard captured Lemesos without meeting any resistance, and 3 days later he requested a meeting with Isaac at Colossi. Isaac agreed and the meeting took place. Such was Isaac's fear that he made all sorts of concessions, allowing his only daughter to be kept as hostage as a guarantee of the observance of the agreement. That's according to chronicler C.D. Cobham. Later, however, believing that Richard's army was not as strong as he initially had estimated, he sent Richard a message demanding his departure from Cyprus, otherwise he would march against him. This enraged Richard, who ordered his cavalry to follow him. With a force of 600 men, he marched on Colossi, where Isaac had gathered his own army. Isaac was eventually defeated and forced to withdraw to the capital, Lefkosia. Richard returned in victory to Lemesos, where tradition has it that on the 12th of May 1191, he married Berengaria at the St. George Chapel in the present medieval castle of Lemesos. Many scholars rule out this possibility on the grounds that the castle had not yet been built at that time. In all likelihood, that chapel was in some other part of Lemesos. It was an extraordinary event, since, as stated by G. Jeffrey, it was the first time a princess was crowned Queen of England outside the country. Richard embarked on a relentless pursuit of Isaac, who had amassed a considerable force of foot soldiers and cavalry in Mesauria. Taking the coastal road eastwards, Richard conquered Famagusta, which was undefended, and after a battle with Isaac's army at Tremithunda, he forced Isaac to withdraw. Richard went on to capture the capital and the Bendadactylos castles, St. Hilarion, Buffavento and Cantara. In the meantime, Guy de Lusignan, Richard's ally, conquered the castle of Kyrenia and held Isaac's wife and daughter in custody there for their own safety. Isaac's pursuit continued until he was captured and ended up in shackles, silver or golden as chroniclers have it, in the dungeons of the Marcapos castle in Syria, headquarters of the Crusaders of the Order of St. John. Isaac lasted only 4 years in those dungeons before breathing his last. Richard's conquest of Cyprus proved very important to the Crusaders, who had lost their domains in Acre and the Holy Land, and after May 1191, Cyprus assumed great significance, becoming the Crusaders' supply station and enabling them to undertake new campaigns against the Turks. Before departing for Syria, Richard appointed two deputies, replaced local soldiers with his own men, and imposed Frankish laws. In other words, he created fiefs by taking half the land from the locals and dividing it among his soldiers. Eventually, Richard realized that he could not keep Cyprus with his limited forces. Therefore, he decided to concentrate on his main objective, the liberation of the Holy Land. Thus, he sold the island to the Knights Templar for the sum of 40,000 gold bezants and an additional 60,000 to be paid in annual installments. However, the Templars also found it very hard to maintain their hold on Cyprus because of the frequent uprisings of the Cypriot people. As a result, the following year, 1192, they sold it to the Frank ruler Guy de Lusignan on exactly the same terms as they had bought it from King Richard. But they also undertook to settle their debt to Richard. Guy, who hailed from present-day Poitiers in France, became the founder of a dynasty which reigned in Cyprus for three whole centuries, until 1489. During the Frankish period, Cyprus prospered, commerce flourished, and the island became a transit trade area. In his chronicle, Leontios Makeras describes Famagusta as the most important port and commercial centre not only of Cyprus, but of the whole eastern Mediterranean. In order to maintain stability and to avoid revolts, Guy attracted foreigners by offering them various privileges and fiefs in exchange for religious or military services. Among these foreigners were Augustinian monks who settled in Bellapace, Dominican and Franciscan monks who settled in Lefkosia, Famagusta and Lemesos, and Benedictine monks who had their base in Lefkosia and then acquired the Stavrovouni monastery as well. The monastic military orders of the Templars and of St. John also responded to Guy's invitation. The agreement which was concluded was based on the Assizes, a body of laws formulated in the 12th century on the basis of the kingdom's traditions and customs. Tradition has it that those laws were recorded for the first time in French in the 13th century by John of Ibelin and Philip of Navarre. The Assizes were also translated into Greek during the 13th century for the Kingdom of Cyprus and certain regions in Greece under Frankish occupation. The chronicles of Leontios Makeras and Boustron follow on the Greek versions of the Assizes of Jerusalem. Let us examine how the orders were formed. The Order of Knights Templar, or simply of the Templars, was founded in 1118 AD by French Knights of Jerusalem in order to protect pilgrims travelling to Palestine against Arab attacks. The Templars, from the Latin word templum, took their name from Kubat es Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock, that is, the Muslim mosque believed to have been built above or near the ruins of the Temple of Solomon. King Baldwin II of Palestine had given them space in that area for their settlement. 10 years later, they wrote up their charter and defined the hierarchy ladder within their order. Their leader held the title of Grand Master and ranked as a prince. In 1148, the Pope exempted the order from payment of taxes. The Templars acquired great power which extended to Europe. They became owners of large tracts of land and of castles, and their ever-increasing resources helped them become bankers, initially serving the Palestine pilgrims. Later, however, they founded banks in Europe as well. It should be noted that they loaned monies even to the King of France. When the Crusaders captured Acre, the knights relocated to Cyprus. The Order of St. John is the oldest religious and military order. It was founded by Pope Gregory the Great in late 6th century AD in order to offer assistance to pilgrims travelling to the Holy Land. Members of the order are also known as Knights Hospitaller, Hospitallers, or Knights of St. John of Jerusalem, of Rhodes and of Malta. The order became active in the period of 1048 to 1070, at which time it relocated its seat to Jerusalem and took the name Order of the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem. The power of the order was enhanced as a result of the conquest of Jerusalem by the Crusaders in 1099. It acquired a military character and relocated to St. John of Acre in Palestine. In 1291, the Hospitallers moved to Cyprus. Let us now see how Colossi Castle is associated with the Templars and the Hospitallers. The castle belonged to the Hospitallers, except for a brief period of time when it came into the possession of the Templars. Other castles associated with the same orders are the ones at Chirokitia and Gastria, which are now in ruins. Whole regions in Paphos, Lemesos, Lefkosia, and in other areas of Cyprus were also once owned by those knights. Until 1210, the Colossi area belonged to one Garinus de Colos. However, it came into the possession of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem when King Hugh I purchased the area from its owner. That same year, according to historian Hill, a castle was built at Colossi. Ruins of that structure are preserved to the east and west of the existing castle. The Knights Hospitaller had the right to have their grains milled at the Kythrea Mills. They had already relocated to Cyprus, thus helping to maintain the Latin rule, especially when Amadlik, 1194 to 1205, who had been crowned first king of Cyprus, managed to be crowned also King of Jerusalem by German Emperor Henry VI after wedding Isabella, widow of Henry I of Jerusalem. His duties often kept him away from Cyprus, fighting against the Turks, since he was trying to recapture the Holy City. Therefore, the Hospitallers' presence on the island was of paramount significance. After the fall of Acre in 1291, the Hospitallers and the Templars moved their seats to Lemesos, which they occupied jointly. Colossi Castle was owned by the Hospitallers. In 1302, their Grand Master decided to establish Colossi as the centre of all the activities of the order, as was the case at Manoir, when the seat of the order was in Acre. 4 years later, the castle came into the possession of the Templars when Amarlik of Tyre, assisted by the Grand Master of the Templars, usurped the kingdom from his brother Henry II, who was supported by the Hospitallers. Taking advantage of the fact that Henry II was epileptic, Amarlik conspired with his other brother, Aimery, and many nobles, and managed to be acknowledged by the upper house as governor of Cyprus. He ruled the island in a very tyrannical manner for 4 years, until he was murdered in 1310, whereupon Henry II resumed the throne. The Templars did not keep Colossi Castle for long. Because of their growing power in Europe, they incurred the enmity of other monastic orders, as well as of the Pope and the King of France. They were charged with heresy and immoral practices. In Cyprus, in 1310, they were imprisoned in the castle of Kyrenia. Their trial lasted 3 years, and eventually they were sentenced to death, tortured, and executed. In 1310, the castle was given to the Knights of St. John, along with the Templars' property. Their Grand Master, Fulk de Villaret, relocated their headquarters to Rhodes, but they continued to maintain their supreme military commandment, the Grand Commandery, in Cyprus, using Colossi as their seat. The Colossi Commandery was the most important one in the areas ceded to the orders of knights and was renowned for its great property. The largest part of that property was in the district of Lemessos and encompassed 60 villages. The lands in the Colossi area were of great value thanks to the production of wheat, cotton, sugar, oil, and fine wines in great quantities. In fact, in terms of irrigation, the Hospitallers often had an advantage over their neighbours, the Cornaro family, who had sugarcane plantations in Episcopi. The castle of Colossi is also associated with the name of the sweet red wine mentioned by Homer as the Cyprus Nama, that is, the world-famous Commandaria. The wine was named after the Commandery, the military command stationed in the castle. As connoisseurs of good wine and of its production techniques, the Knights Hospitaller expertly promoted the Commandaria trade. The largest part of their production was shipped to England, where it was greatly appreciated by the royal court. Since early 14th century, mentions of Cypriot wines, Commandaria in particular, have been very extensive and interesting, according to Cobham. Let us now walk through the area. The massive castle dominates a verdant, fertile and idyllic land. As we approach the structure, we gaze admiringly at its gardens, which are full of local and imported species. Among the most impressive plants are the sugar canes opposite the warden's office, and further down, two huge age-long trees, a cypress and a kind of acacia, Macherium, approximately 200 years old and 26 metres tall, according to the Forestry Department. The existing castle dates back to 1454, when Louis de Magnat was Grand Master. It's built of limestone blocks and rises to a height of 21 metres. Each of its four exterior facades is 16 metres long, whereas their interior length is 13.5 metres. Ruins of the original 13th century castle lie to the east, south and southwest of the monument. The well stands out among these ruins. The castle was rebuilt after the damage it sustained during the attacks of the Mamelukes that lasted a full year until 1426, according to Geoffrey. The extant castle, finely constructed, was considered impregnable. The castle's main gate is accessible through a stone stairway and a drawbridge. Projecting high above it is a machicolation with murder holes, or meurtrières, from which boiling oil or scalding water was poured on the attacking enemy. The castle has three floors. The ground floor is divided into three vaulted halls, which communicate through arched doors. There are openings in the floor, giving access to underground water cisterns. An interior stairway with 24 steps leads up to the second floor, which is divided into two halls. The western one has a huge, simple fireplace, indicating the existence of a kitchen. The most impressive feature of the eastern hall is a mural on the south wall. It dates back to the 15th to 16th century and shows the crucifixion, with Virgin Mary on the left and St. John on the right of the cross. In the lower left-hand corner of the mural, we see the fleur-de-lis of Louis de Magnac's coat of arms. The mural has recently undergone conservation work by the Cypriot Department of Antiquities, and a protective glass plate has been placed over it. An interior spiral stairway with 33 steps leads to the third floor, where there are two halls as well. The first likely served as a dining room, and the second as a bedroom. Both feature large fireplaces with Louis de Magnac's coat of arms on the side. The fireplaces are beautifully decorated in a manner that resembles the knights' buildings in Rhodes. Both rooms are very well lit thanks to their eight windows. Each window has built-in seats, and in a recess of the north wall, there's a toilet. Another interior spiral stairway with 35 steps leads to the flat roof of the castle, with the murder holes and the 19 crenels. The top of the castle offers a magnificent view of the vineyards, the citrus trees, the Lemessos salt lake and the Mediterranean to the south. To the north lies Colossi village with the Troodos range in the background. To the south of the main structure, there's a walled courtyard. On the southwest side of the building, there are the ruins of an outbuilding, which probably served as a storeroom and stable. Visitors must not miss an elaborately carved marble slab set into the exterior east facade of the castle. At the top of the large cruciform slab, there's a crown, and below it an escutcheon with the then full coat of arms of the Lusignans of Cyprus. A shield divided into four sections. In the upper left section, we see the emblem of Jerusalem, a crutchstick cross between four smaller crosses. In the upper right section, there's the old Lusignan coat of arms, a striped rectangle and a rearing lion. In the lower left section, we see the emblem of Cyprus, a rearing lion against a golden background. In the lower right section, there's the emblem of Little Armenia, an area in modern Cilicia, with a red rearing lion against a silver background. This coat of arms denotes that as from 1393, the King of Cyprus was simultaneously King of Jerusalem and of Little Armenia. The same coat of arms appears on coins minted by the Lusignan kings. The central escutcheon is flanked by the coats of arms of two Grand Masters of the Order of St. John, of Jean de Lastic on the left and of Jacques de Milly, who succeeded him in 1454, on the right. Below the central escutcheon we see the coat of arms of Louis de Magnac, who built the castle. There are not any other coats of arms in the castle, but Colossi came under other Grand Masters, such as Englishman John Langstrother, after whose decapitation in England, Nicola Zaplani became Grand Master of the Order. In 1488, according to the French historian de la Matrie, the castle came into the possession of the Cornaro family. First owner was George Cornaro, brother of Catherine Cornaro, the last queen of the Franks. For a long period of time, the Colossi commandery was the richest property of the knights. This is also evidenced by the fact that with effect from 1468, the commandery was subject to an annual contribution of 4,000 ducats to the fund of the knights in Rhodes. At the outset of the Venetian administration, 1489, the commandery still owned 41 villages, producing an annual income of 8,000 ducats. When Ottoman Turks conquered the island in 1571, the Cornaro family lost that property, but maintained the title of Grand Master. The Cornaro house ceased to exist in 1799, but Count Monseningo, who wedded the heiress, continued to lay claim on the title, even after that year. On the 18th of September 1959, 1 year before Cyprus gained its independence from British rule, Colossi Castle briefly relived its past glory. A magnificent ceremony took place in its courtyard with the participation of 300 guests, including Sir Hugh Foote, Governor of Cyprus. The regalia of the order were awarded by the Lord Prior of the Order of St. John. The trumpets sounded from the battlements, and there followed an impressive ceremony. The order has been active in Cyprus since 1926 and offers its services to charities in close cooperation with the Department of Medical Services. The castle has been declared an ancient monument of the first schedule, and it's in jurisdiction of the Department of Antiquities, which is responsible for its annual maintenance. Excavations have been ongoing since 1992, mainly to the east of the castle, where there are the remains of the sugar factory. The existing factory dates back to the 14th century and is an oblong vaulted structure of limestone blocks with arched openings on the three sides. Its total floor area is around 150 square metres. To the north of this building, there are the ruins of the sugarcane crushing mill, and further north are the remains of the aqueduct. How did that medieval factory operate? The mill was fed by the Kouris River through the medieval aqueduct. The water powered the millstone, which crushed the sugarcane once it had been stripped of the leaves and cut into small pieces. According to L. Lazzarini, the same process was implemented in Venice. The sugarcane juice flowed into large cauldrons and was boiled. As explained by archaeologists, the juice, that is the molasses, was boiled two or three times, thus producing three qualities of sugar. The more it was boiled, the more light-coloured the sugar. This is also suggested by the different ceramic vessels. The sugar was poured into small jars using a clay funnel. The same process was applied in Kuklia, in Balepafos, and in the Episcopi Seraya sugar mill. Sugarcane was cultivated and thrived in Cyprus since the 10th century. However, from the 13th century onwards, its cultivation increased significantly to keep up with the increased sugar production. A large part of the production was exported to Casamartini in Venice. Powdered sugar was also produced in other areas in the east, such as Rhodes, Syria, and Alexandria. But the Cypriot sugar was of superb quality, and according to Pegolotti, was considered the best. As a result of the Lemesos earthquakes of 1567 and 1568, the factory sustained serious damage and was repaired by Murat Pasha in 1591, as shown in an engraved inscription on the south exterior wall. The ongoing excavations lead us to surmise that over a certain period during the Ottoman occupation and perhaps English rule, the factory was transformed into a flour mill. According to testimonies of foreign travellers, sugarcane cultivation continued through the first decade of the 17th century. Beyond that point, reports make reference only to cotton and silk. More specifically, Dutch traveller Cornelius van Brunn, who came to Cyprus in 1683, mentions cotton plantations in Episcopi and the production of high volumes of silk and cotton in Kuklia. Another remarkable monument lies within a short 100 metres of the castle. It is the small 12th century Byzantine church of St. Eustathios, which was modified in the 15th century. It seems that the church was the place of worship of the Knights of the Order of St. John, since according to Gunnis, in 1936, its apse still preserved the coat of arms of Louis de Magnac, Grand Master of the Order.